Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs as we continue chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And this morning we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. The title of my message here this morning is Diligently Stewarding the Moments of Your Life. Diligently stewarding the moments of your life. As in water face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, your word speaks with authority. And Father, your word is true and righteous altogether. And Father, you've given us a book of Proverbs as a book of wisdom and instruction and righteousness and holiness. A book to teach us the fear of the Lord and to keep your commandments. A book that helps us navigate through the challenges of life and relationships with each other and of matters of this world. And Father, a wise man will heed your word. A wise man will be very keen to hear what the Lord says and apply it to his life. So this morning, Lord, as we look at this passage here that you've given to us for our edification, our instruction, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us. Lord, help me to be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors the word of God for your glory. So bless us as your people. Give us a heart to embrace all that you have for each of us. In his holy name we pray, amen. You know, as scripture unfolds here, Proverbs is a huge book for us to put together life daily. Now, life is not lived 70 years at one moment. It's not lived in a decade. It's not lived in a year. It's not lived in a month. It's not lived in a day. It's lived in a moment. And this moment right now, now you can't go back to the past, you can't race to the future, but you are right here, right now at this moment. And the moments of our lives, to diligently steward them, these moments that transpire, that come before us, what do you do with each of these little moments? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. We have choices in these moments we have. Now, how many of us would have liked to have a redo over in life in a certain area of our life? If you could go back and change something, would you change something? Yeah, we all would, because we all realize, whoa, I made a mistake there. Whoa, this didn't turn out, or I didn't mean this to happen. These moments that we have, in these moments, God wants to speak to us. He wants to instruct us. He wants to help us to make the best of each moment. Because if you let too many moments go by and you don't embrace them, you don't guide them, pretty soon you'll be at the end of your life and you'll say, where did life go? Or why didn't I do more with my life? Or, wow, what a life I could have had. So embracing these moments to diligently steward. Steward means to watch over. Well, let's see in these moments of our lives what verse 19 through 27 have to say for us in these moments. As in water face. Now, okay. Pastor, what's a water face? Okay. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? I hope you looked in a mirror this morning before you left home, okay? You look in a mirror, why? Because it shows who you are, okay? In those times, in Bible times, they did not have silver back mirrors to look at. They may, you know, shine a piece of metal up, but if you looked in the water, you can see your what? Reflection. Okay, that's water face. You're looking back at yourself. Now, as you look back at yourself, as in water face, answers to face. Okay, you look in water, you see your face. So the heart of man to man. The heart of man to man. If you were to look at your heart, now you look in a mirror, it looks at your face. But if you're to look at your heart, what do you see? Now, you look in a mirror and you see your face. And for some of us, we've got more face to clean each day because our hairline's receding. And yeah, we see that. But if you were to look at your heart, just like you look at your face, what would you see? Now, we want to be honest. Now, you ever been to a circus and you see those mirrors that are curvy and they make you like look about this big and this big around? You ever seen those kind of mirrors? Or they make your neck look like, you know, a beanpole, you know? If you're looking at yourself, you don't want to look through a distorted mirror, so to speak. You want to be honest with yourself. If I look at my heart, just like I look at my face, what do I see inside of me? Because we want to be honest with ourselves. If we're going to steward, diligently steward our hearts, and that is in verse 19, I got 3 points here this morning. First point is, diligently steward your heart. So the heart of man to man. Are you looking at your heart? Now, a person can have a tender heart. What is that? Well, they're sensitive to people. They're tender. They're tender to God's word. They have a certain receptivity to the pains of others. They have a tender heart. But can people have a hardened heart? Now, how do people get a hardened heart? But they get a hardened heart because they hear their heart cry of somebody else and they say to themselves, I don't have time, I don't care. And they move on with their life and they have a hardened heart. God can say, don't do this, and they do it anyway, and they harden their heart. Sometimes, though, we can't see our hearts clearly enough, because if we're to diligently steward our hearts, so the heart of man to man, as man examines his heart like he examines his face, how do we know who we really are? Well, the scriptures help us define who we really are. Because if you just judge yourself by your own standards, guess what? I bet you'll make yourself look pretty good if you decide the standard of what life should be. Because we all want to make ourselves look good. So the best thing to do is not judge you by your own standards, but what does God's standard has to say? Because we don't want to have a hardened heart. We don't want to have a deceived heart. But we want to have a tender heart that faces the reality of who we are. So the heart of man to man, diligently stewarding who we are as God's people, stewarding our hearts. Now, God gives you something to help you steward your heart. You ever heard of the word conscience? What does your conscience do for you? Is your conscience your friend or your enemy? Okay. It's your friend if you want to do what's right. It's your enemy if you want to do what's wrong. Is that true? If you want to do what's wrong, guess what? Your conscience is something that irritates you. Be quiet. I don't want to hear you. That's what a conscience. But why did God give us a conscience? To help us. Are we made in the image of God? Do we have the stamp of divinity upon us, made in His image? God puts within our hearts. Now, there are some people around the world, like in Papua New Guinea, in these remote villages, have they ever had the Word of God? Some of them have never even seen a Bible. But written on their hearts, is there a law that says, thou shalt not kill? Do they sense that is just wrong in and of itself? They have a conscience. God writes it on the table of their hearts. So if a man's stewarding his heart and wants to be a good steward of it, and your conscience pricks you about something, what should you do? You should not harden your heart against your conscience, but you should respond to it and say, God, why is that? Now, if you go to a lot of modern psychiatrists that don't know God, that don't know the Word of God, what would they do with your conscience and your guilt? They will try to make you be able to live with it. In other words, they don't tell people, confess your sins before God. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And when you get forgiven, how do you feel about something? If God's forgiven you, how do you feel on the inside? You feel good about yourself. You feel clean. The woman that wiped Christ's feet with her tears and wiped His feet with her hair, how did she feel about all of her sins that were forgiven? How did she feel about them? She felt good. And out of worship and thankfulness to Jesus for cleansing her, out of gratitude of tears, she felt clean on the inside. So as a mirror shows your face, the heart of man to man, if you're to look at your heart, what do you see? What kind of man are you? God wants us to diligently steward our hearts. Okay. Diligently steward your hearts. Second point. Look at verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Diligently steward your ego, or your eyes rather. Diligently steward your eyes. Point number two, diligently steward your eyes. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Okay, you got a heart. If you want to have a pure heart, you want to have a good heart to God, you got to watch where your eyes what? Where your eyes go. Where your eyes go. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about Achan. Where did Achan's eyes go? When I saw the Babylonian garments and the silver and the gold, that's where his eyes went. Diligently steward your eyes. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Now, you're a Christian man. You want to live for the Lord. You give your life to God. Is there a lot of eye candy in our society for the Christian man? In our society, is there a lot of eye candy? You know what I'm saying? Is it everywhere? Kind of quiet out there. Is it everywhere? Yes. It is everywhere. And so for a Christian man that wants to steward his eyes and to keep his eyes pure, is that a battle? Is that a battle? Yes. It is. Is it a good battle? It is. Now, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. When we steward our eyes, we're keeping control of the passions of the flesh, we're crucifying the flesh and the affections thereof, and we're keeping our eyes where they need to be. Now, if you go into the mall and you take a turn and you go by and you see a poster that's inappropriate, what should the Christian man do? You bounce your eyes. You see something, oops, and then you just look what? The other way. It's called bouncing your eyes. You can't help but see some things, but where does the problem come in? The eyes are never satisfied. It's not when you see it the first time, because you can't help but not see. Where does the problem come in? It's when you look what? The second time, and you look the third time, and you look the fourth time. That's the problem. Can I put this where the rubber meets the road here this morning? Women, how do you feel if your husband was looking at something he shouldn't? How do you feel? Does that rub you the wrong way? It rubs you the wrong way. Now, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. If you want to be a diligent steward of your eyes, you've got to train your eyes, train your heart. If you want to keep your heart, you train your heart, you train your eyes, and you keep them where they need to be. Now, in Sunday school, does God see everything that happens in our life? Does he know our down sittings and uprisings? Does he know our thoughts are far off? Does God know how many hairs are on our head? He knows them all. Some more, some less, but he knows them all. Some are thankful just to have one, you know? Don't have to count very far. And so for the Christian man, the battle that we have to have a pure heart, so the heart of man to man, who are we on the inside? So the eyes of man, God sees these things. God sees these things. Now, it's a battle, but it's a good battle to be fought. A man that keeps his eyes pure, is he honoring his wife when he does that? Yes. He's honoring his wife. He's honoring his wife if he keeps his eyes pure. He's honoring his wife. And to diligently steward the moments of your life, I remember hearing this a friend of mine some years ago. He was a truck driver. He was at some place dropping off some material. Another truck driver came up to him and says, "Hey, look at this on my phone." And he just, you know, naturally just turned. He saw what it was. He said, "Get that junk out of here." Did he do the right thing as a Christian man? Did he do the right thing? Okay, he did. But that's a battle. Now, people that don't fight that battle, what does verse 20 say? Hell and destruction are what? Never full. Never full. Now, I didn't plan this, but Sunday school and this are really like hitting on top of each other. Because Achan thought he got away with his sin, didn't he? And men that don't keep their eyes pure, guess what? Your sin's going to what? Find you out. It will. It may catch up with you. It may be sooner or later, but it'll find you out. I'm just warning you. God is speaking here. Because the thing about it is, pleasure seekers are never satisfied. And your wife has to be your wife for life, and you get your beauty and your satisfaction from your wife alone, period. None other. That's it. And stewarding the moments of our life, that's a huge thing. Now, Satan always tempts us when we're the strongest spiritual, right or wrong. When would Satan like to get us? When we're the most vulnerable and weak. So what do we do as Christians? If we want to steward the moments of our lives and have a heart for God and have eyes for God, we need to keep ourselves strong spiritually. Now, the eyes of man are never satisfied. If you have a temptation that is tempting you, that you can't get the victory over, what should you do? Well, of course you can ask God to help you. Get rid of the temptation. It's a good battle to fight. Because a man that fights for righteousness is fighting for his family. He's fighting for his marriage. He's fighting for the dignity of his children. I knew a man one time. I was in Christian ministry. And a very famous man, I won't say his name, but I knew him personally. I knew his family. And I just remember seeing his son one time in a gathering, sitting cross. And he fell into immorality, left his wife, just terrible. And I saw his son sitting over there, and I just thought to myself, I wonder how he feels about his dad, what he did. Now, see, this is practical stuff here because the eyes of man are never satisfied. If you got a wandering eye, pleasure seekers are never satisfied. The best thing to do is get off that road. Don't keep going down that road. Because when you fall into sin, you hurt yourself, you hurt your testimony, you hurt your family, you hurt your church, you hurt your relationships. It's just pain all around. The eyes of man, the heart of man, the eyes of man. Diligently steward your heart, diligently steward your eyes. They're never satisfied. I want to tell you a deep theological statement. Charlie Harbin told me this years ago, a pastor. He said, "Andy, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "You've seen one woman, you've seen them all." I laughed too, but I walked away with something. I said, that's true. And so for men, be satisfied with your wife, period. She's yours. Because Satan has ruined a lot of families because men are never satisfied. you know, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. God speaks to people. Okay. Diligently steward your eyes. Verse 21. As a finning pot, refining pot for silver, and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. What does that mean, Pastor? A refining pot for silver, a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Diligently steward your ego. Now, let's break this apart here a little bit. Silver has impurities when it comes out of the earth. You heat it up, and the impurities come to the surface, you scrape it off. Same for gold. You heat it up, it melts, you scrape off the impurities, you let it cool. You heat it up again, and you keep scraping off the impurities. When somebody praises you, you can take that two ways with your ego. If you take it in such a way that they say you did something and you deflect that praise to God and you say, Lord, thank you for helping me do this, or thank you that I was a blessing to this person. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me the understanding to get this accomplished, the answer that everybody needed. And you can deflect that to God. If you let the dross in your life come to the surface and that's what you grasp, when somebody says you did a good job and they give you some praise and all of a sudden you say, yeah, I am pretty good, ain't I? Yeah, the world couldn't, you know, the world, look how much better the world is because of me. You know, all of a sudden that dross is what you pick up. And in God's sight, that's dross, not silver, not gold. When somebody says you did a good job, that is a blessing to you and encouragement, but it doesn't rest with you. It's deflected back to God. So you can be tested when somebody praises you. When somebody praises you, is it going to bring the dross out, the bad stuff, that you absorb that to yourself, or are you going to give that back to God? Why did Satan fall in Isaiah 14? Because of pride. Pride goes before what? Destruction, a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. And we as God's people got to be so, it's a testing ground because we want, you know, people are going to say good things about us. That's okay. But you deflect it. I've shared this before. I just remember one pastor came up to speak and he was very popular and everybody started clapping for him. And he just stood back and went like this. And I knew what he was doing. He was letting it hit him, but he gave it back to God. See, that's deflecting it. And that's when it's a good praise because you're giving it back to God, who's worthy of all glory and honor, dominion and power. So diligently steward your heart, diligently steward your eyes, diligently steward your ego. I told you I had 3 points. I got 4 here this morning because I'm on a roll. Okay. The last point here is diligently steward your responsibilities. Okay. Now, that's in verse 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. But I just want to pick up one thought here in verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray or grind a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Okay, what's the idea? You got grains of wheat and you grind them and you're breaking the chaff off to get to the kernels so you can have the wheat for your food. That process is separating the undesirable from the desirable. In this verse here, if you put a fool in the midst of that, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Yet will not. For the foolish person who has said, my heart, I'm going to do what I want to do. For the foolish man has said, my eyes, I'm going to do what I want to with them. For my ego, I'm going to do what I want with them. And God says in verse 22, you're a foolish man. If you won't, yet will not his foolishness depart. It's not saying it cannot. It's just saying it won't. God gives you an opportunity to change your course. You don't have to be a foolish person that goes down the road of life and ruins your life and other people's. Don't be that foolish person in verse 22. Yet will not his foolishness depart from him. God gives us these golden nuggets to help us. So, that sets us up for verse 23. Diligently steward your responsibilities. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Okay, what's the application? How many of you have sheep in your backyard here today? Anybody? I don't have any, and I don't think probably anybody here that I know of has any sheep. But is there an application here that you can apply this? Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. If you're a mom and got kids at home, can those kids at home be your flock? Can they be your flock? They sure can. Okay, they can be your flock. If you're a husband and you got a wife and children, can that be your flock? It sure can. If you're an employer and you got employees as a Christian business, can that be your flock? It sure can. For a pastor of a church, can his church members be his flock? Absolutely. That state, know the state of your flocks. What is your responsibility that God has given to you in your life at this point in time? God is saying, be diligent to know the state of, how are they doing? Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to your herds. Now he gives us some reasons here. For riches are not forever. I have heard of situations where a man was successful, left his sons a good inheritance. Within a short amount of time, they wasted the money and were bankrupt. Riches don't last forever if you're not watching over them and doing the right things the way your forefathers did. Riches are not forever, and does a crown endure to every generation? What you receive from your parents and your grandparents, verse 24 makes me think about America. That's all I can say. Because have we been a blessed nation and received so much from our forefathers in our country? We have been. And it feels like we're just throwing away all the blessings they've saved up for us. Just wasting, spending money right and left. Riches aren't forever. When you're trillions, $25 trillion or 26, whatever it is, it keeps going up faster and I can keep track of it. They're not forever. The hay appeareth, the tender grass showeth itself, the herbs of the mountain are gathered, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats for the price of a field. Your labors, the lambs are for your clothing. One person said when he got his paycheck, it wasn't payday, it was exchange day. He just exchanged his check for all the bills he had. When you labor, you exchange that. Lambs become clothing, goats for the field. And thou shalt have goat milks enough for thy food and the food of thy household and for the maintenance of thy maidens. Diligently steward your responsibilities. The moments of your life. Now, in Genesis it says, man shall live by the sweat of his what? Brow. I've been getting up for 61 years and still haven't quite got the hang of it yet. Do you know what I'm saying? It's hard to get out of bed in the morning sometimes. But if you got a responsibility, guess what? You get out of bed and you get your day started. Now, for the Christian home, what's the role of the husband? As protector and what? Provider. That's his role. And high priest. Spiritually, to look over his family. Now, be diligent to know the state of your flock. As a Christian husband, you need to be the one that you're providing for your wife and children. I met a man one time, and I didn't know what to say to him. You know, when women meet, they say, how many children you got? That's how it goes down usually. When men meet, they say, what do you do for work? Okay, is that true? Is that true? Men meet, they want to know what you do for work. I asked a guy one time, I just met him. I said, what do you do for work, sir? He said, I'm a house husband. And that threw me. I thought I didn't hear right, so I had him repeat it again. He said, I'm a house husband. I said, oh, I never met one before. I haven't. You're the first one. I said, oh. He goes, yeah, I take care of the kids in the house. So I was trying to where's your wife and all that? So I said, what does your wife do? Oh, she works down at Three Mile Island. And she makes all the money. Now, I'm going to say as a Christian, I think in this society, a lot of things have gotten upside down. Would you say that's an upside down home? That's an upside down home. Because I tell you how men are made. They're made to work. And if a man doesn't work, and if he plays video games all day and sleeps in, that is bad. Because he needs to be providing for his wife and children. Now, maybe a time you get married and there's no children, and so the wife works, that's fine. But when children come along, guess what? It's kind of hard for a wife to be working and nursing a baby at the same time. And she's meant to be at home and raise the children. And a husband's to work and provide. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Look well to your herds. That's the Christian home. Women are to raise the children and raise them for the glory of God. Husbands provide, protect, be high priest. And the blessing of being diligent in that area, you're stewarding your responsibilities. Be thou diligent. Now, how would you define that word diligent? Would you say being on it, being intentional? To be diligent means that you're not wasting time. When God says be diligent, that means every day you're on it. Every day you're on it. Diligently steward your heart. Diligently steward your eyes. Diligently steward your ego. And diligently steward your responsibilities. Is that practical from the book of Proverbs? It is. We can use that as God's people. Well, let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've given us here this morning as your people. And I pray that we would be very diligent in these moments of our lives, Lord. This day will be past, and tomorrow will be a new day. Lord, help these moments that we have. We do the right thing at the right way at the right time. And that we be men of God and women of God that take these matters seriously, Lord. And Father, eternity is coming quick. And I pray that we would each diligently look into these areas of our lives. Father, help us. May your Holy Spirit speak in ways we cannot see to help us be the men and women of God you have ordained us to be and desire us to be. Lord, don't let us play the fool. Lord, don't let us waste our lives and ride us living and not be mature believers. God, help us to honor you and to do our responsibilities and to be diligent in these areas of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.